of Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and at the local Franklin area FM dial at 102.9. Here today for a town council quarterbacking session with our council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, happy Thursday.
And happy Thursday to you, Steve. As we have our final meeting of the calendar year.
It's been a full year. And as we were just checking offline, I probably should have given you a little teaser. And how many have we done? Actually, this is the 21st session this year.
Wow.
So thank you for your participation. Actually started almost exactly a year ago to the date. We did one in 2020. Coming out of the council meeting at the same time last year.
Wow, I would have never guessed that we were that high, but it's nice to see we've completed the year and pretty much recapped pretty much all of our meetings. So
yeah, and that's certainly a great, given the flexibility
thank you
of
your time.
Well, it takes two to tango, right? So we've been flexible scheduling on your side, flexible scheduling on my side. Even the couple of weeks that I had taken vacation, we managed because you only had the one meeting in August. So that's we were late to that one, but we still covered it. So
exactly.
It works.
It's all good stuff.
It works. Absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
And hopefully the listeners, if you're new, what we're attempting to do here is recap the council meeting. So last night was relatively one of the shorter ones. It was only like a 90-minute session. There have been three-hour sessions, and certainly the budget hearing over two nights, that was more 4 hours, etc. But we attempt to shorten it, akin to, as we've said in other places, you know, New England is used to kind of the sports analysis shows. So after the Patriots game, after the Bruins game, it's always like, what happened? What happened? Who did what, et cetera. So we try to do that about the council meeting to condense and, you know, solidify, okay, what does it mean for the Franklin residents and voters and what happens next, et cetera. So I think for the new listeners, that's what we're about to do. For the regulars, you know that, and that's why you're coming back. So we appreciate that. And certainly, as I'm sure we'll mention a few times in this before we finish and close out, thank you for participating and doing this. And hopefully the listeners and residents will continue to spread the word and say, hey, listen to these two guys. They're talking good stuff. So
great. Certainly my pleasure to be here for these.
On the short staff meeting last night, and again for consideration, end of the year, et cetera, season gets busy now as we get into the holidays. You did some key pieces, though. You had three appointments to fill some spots on some committees.
We did. We had two cultural district committee appointments and one community preservation committee appointment. The cultural district committee, we appointed Catherine Botello and Patrick Timmons, and obviously we thank them for stepping up and volunteering to serve on what has become a very important committee to the community, that being the Franklin Cultural District Committee. So we appreciate those two for signing on, and those that are already on, we thank them for their continued participation with that committee. Then the Community Preservation Committee appointment was Richard Powers, or Rick Power, who is actually the planning board representative. We are required by law to have representatives from some of the different committees. And the planning board representative was Joe Halligan. And following the most recent election, Mr. Halligan was defeated, and so we had to get a new appointment, planning board appointment. So the planning board voted a week or so ago to name Rick Power to be their replacement and their person on the Community Preservation Committee. So his participation will start immediately. And just for a little plug, they have Their first meetings coming up in January, very important, looking for them, looking forward to putting a plan together, what they'll be looking at in 2022. So please tune in to their committee meetings so you get an understanding as to what the Community Preservation Committee is all about and some of the very good things they're doing and looking at as we move forward.
Yeah, and a couple of points to add to that. And I'll go back to the Cultural District Committee. They did have a meeting Monday night, and both Catherine and Pat participated. There were no significant votes, so that by not having an official appointment yet, they at least listened, participated, didn't have to vote on anything because there was no votes really required. But kudos to them for stepping up and helping that early transition into their role, which is now official in the next meetings. Yeah. When there's a vote, they can actually do so. Similarly, the Community Preservation Committee met last week and Rick participated again in a non-voting capacity. And again, there was no real significant votes required. But yeah, to your point, they are moving ahead. The two formal public hearings for the 4th of January and then the 18th of January have now been announced. Because they are public hearings, so they have to go through that legal notification process. I know the town is also working on, in our Talk Franklin conversation between Jamie and Lily Rivera and myself, I know that they're working on putting together the application form and even kind of a suggestion form so that we, as in folks in the community, if for those who may not be aware, because of the community preservation funds will first be available about this time next year, November, December, 2022, the effort in the planning public hearings in January is to build that wish list. How would the community like to see those funds be used? Absolutely. Clearly, as we've talked in this forum before, we use some of the funding to make the Maple Hill purchase, but we've got other funding that is not yet allocated, and we've got a whole host of needs. Certainly from the town side, we've talked, you know, with the Red Brick School needs some work. The Historical Museum needs some work. Let's have the community input as well. Where do we want our needs to be fulfilled? And again, within the restrictions of we can use it for this, we can't for that. That'll be part of those discussions so that people will know. But it'll effectively build the prioritization list. And again, the two public hearings are the start of that process. They'll then develop the prioritization, have additional meetings, and eventually bring back to the council. This is the proposal. This is the budget we're looking for. It's the how to spend the funds. And I'm not sure offhand, maybe you're aware, in terms of whether it actually comes as part of the budget hearing or whether that's kind of a separate cycle, how to spend those. But
it will
ultimately
be a separate,
get to decide anyway.
Right. It'll be a separate cycle. They'll be part of the budget process. There'll be discussions, but the actual vote will come in a separate kind of a separate package. And just to your point about the appointments being people sitting on them before ratification from the council, basically the town administrator in most cases is the appointing authority. So he appoints somebody to a committee and then the council ratifies that appointment. So that's basically what was happening last night.
Yeah, and clearly those meetings are open, so they're just residents participating. They're not voting. I attend most of the meetings anyway. Yeah. I certainly don't vote, so there's nothing lost there. The point we're trying to make clearly is that they're at least having been interested and getting appointed, they're also getting up to speed with what the meetings are actually doing. So that's a goodness.
For sure. And since we were talking about the community preservation setting their planning meetings, the council will also be setting our goal sessions in January for our goals looking into the next 2 years. What are the things we're looking to get accomplished? What are the things each individual counselor will have an opportunity to add or, to the list of goals? We will discuss them. The town administrator and the town's full administration, department heads and so forth, will have input into this goals, these goal setting sessions. And I think it's for interested residents, it's two very important meetings, as far as I'm concerned, because that we are actually putting together the things we want to get accomplished in the next 2 years. And if a resident has something that they think is should be on that list, those are the meetings to come to, so we get them on record on the list for goals that we're attempting to achieve. So please come forward. And I'm sure you and I will be talking about them following those meetings on these quarterbacking sessions.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I'll include the link to the prior goals, which if I recall earlier this year, and actually I think it was part of the town administrator review process, because effectively he gets reviewed as fostering those goals along the way. Obviously, it takes two to tango. Some work has to be done by the town administration, but council, whether either some of the subcommittees, economic development, for example. And at least one thing that comes to mind, I know, and even I think it was Councilor Frangiolo checked on the housing production plan that was submitted to the state, hasn't yet come back. Clearly, there'll be some things in there that'll likely come up to the list. And then get worked by whoever, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so this, clearly we've always said, or at least had an opportunity frequently to say, get involved. This is one point, aside from the budget hearings, this helps set the prioritizations for both how we're going to spend the money on the community preservation side, and then what kind of work you're going to do and the town is going to do on our behalf. So if anything else, this is clearly a great time to have your two cents put in to say, this should be prioritized over this, this should be prioritized over that.
And as people are hunkered down in their homes, staying warm in the month of January, great time to tune in.
Yep. One of the key items you also did last night was the annual alcohol license renewals. So it wasn't legislation per se, but from an oversight perspective, that's always a key approval process. It was heartening as well, given the pandemic, and we're still economically coming out of that. I think there was my offhand count, like four or five licenses that are for places that have not yet opened. And the list of items that were being held for payment was relatively short compared to other years. So
yes, it was.
That I think speaks wonders to the economic conditions that we're managing still to get through.
This is true. It certainly is. And some of those inspections and licenses, it gets a little confusing, because if there was an issue with an inspection, they can't accept the license fee. So it may not be that they didn't pay it or want to pay it. It's just the inspection has to be improved before the town can accept the payment. So that's kind of how that whole thing works.
So that some of that gets complicated, because it may not just be kind of the restaurant indoor license holder. It may also be the leasee or building owner. So now it's not so easy to fix whatever it is.
No, exactly. And, you know, it's a fire inspection, it's a Board of Health inspection. And so, you know, it could be as simple as one of the lights, emergency lights wasn't working.
Yeah, so, or a bulb's missing or whatever.
So, you're right. There were very few. And again, everything was approved pending the final inspections and payment of fees. Once those are done for those businesses that are still waiting for that piece, the town administrator will hold those licenses until they are complete. So good stuff.
Yep, it is good stuff. And just it's a reinforcement for the safety and the legality from a resident's perspective. You know, the license will not be issued until things are cleared. So clearly between now and call it December 31st, things may still be in flux. But after that point, if it's not ready, the place won't be open, and hopefully they'll be resolved by before that. But at least from our perspective, we'll be going into a safe and approved and legal facility after January 1.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the key presentation, the only presentation last night, was one I think we talked about before because it had come up to the finance committee meeting. But Karen Bratt, and I think it was recognized by a number of the councilors because she really had not done, or nobody had prior, at least certainly in my 15 years watching, this level of presentation from human resources around the recruiting, the test process, the planning, from start insurance to finish, the entire piece.
Yeah. And I will say, and I did comment last night, as well as many of my fellow counselors did as well, it was really an incredible presentation. It was something, there was a lot of information that I know myself, as well as some of the others, weren't aware that really goes through the HR office. What gets accomplished in there in the course of a year?
Yeah.
There's a lot, and the little pieces that they do working with the employees as far as retirements go, or planning retirements. I think I want to go here. How would it look? And that's with basically a two-person office.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was really enlightening, certainly. And I would say to the residents, please go listen to that presentation. There's a lot of very good information and a lot of information that kind of explains some of the challenges that we face as a council when we look to get the budget process going in the terms of cost of labor, insurances, retirements, OPEB, all of that information. I thought Karen did a wonderful job of explaining that so that really anybody listening could understand. It was kind of knocked down a little bit so that we all could understand exactly what was going on and what goes through that HR department. And I said the two-person department, there's two people on the town side.
Full-time.
Two people full-time. Then there's two people on the school side.
Yeah.
And they work in the, out of the same office, separated, but out of the same office. So they are working together to look into to make sure that the town is getting the best possible product or giving the employees the best possible opportunities when it comes to insurances or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and they certainly have been busy. Clearly, as we're aware, and you participated in that. When Jeff Nutting was here, he recognized that there was going to be that demographic wave, effectively, where there was going to be a significant number of retirements to the staff that came out last night. What was it, 11? Just the department managers, effectively half the department heads were replaced since 2017.
Absolutely.
That's a significant turnover.
Exactly. And then, you know, you've got a new town administrator, new superintendent of schools, new police chief, new fire chief. There's been a lot that have, and, you know, in a lot of cases, we've developed a new hiring process, the police department, and we've restructured the fire department.
Right.
So these are all things that have to go through HR before they get to us for a vote. So it was It was really a great presentation, and I'm really happy that it we happened to bring it to the council last night on a night when it was a relatively small agenda, so we really could allocate the time necessary to answer council questions. And, you know, not that there were a lot of questions, and I think that just goes to how good the presentation was, because I know a lot of, most of my questions, all but one, were answered during her presentation.
Right. Yeah, it was thorough. And it was interesting, as we were talking pre-recording, I would recommend folks listen to both the FinCom presentation as well as last night's, because there was a couple of key points, that one of which I'll mention here, at least for sake of time, as an incentive to go do both. That, you know, the nature of the conversation, FinCom certainly has their perspective, town council has their perspective, and a couple of details were missed. The one key one that I would tease you with here is that, and she, it was interesting to hear the Norfolk retirement requirements in terms of the allocation, the assessment, how it's growing, but at least by, I think she said FY 2030, we should be fully funded at that point. And then our assessment drops. What wasn't mentioned in the council one, but then went on further in the FinCom one, as I recall, was that funding can then shift to help alleviate our OPEB requirements, which are similar, but are not, because we can close out the Norfolk County one sooner, then let's do that and then shift those funds to continue to knock down the OPEB requirements after 2030, assuming those numbers still hold out based upon the revenue projections, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and a very good point. It is, you know, OPEB, you know, former Councillor Padula and myself were two people that, you know, this OPEB thing is just, you know, it's an albatross that's hanging around on our backs because we are so far behind in our obligation. But by the same token, we are so far ahead of most other communities in regards to putting the money away for our OPEB obligations.
Right.
So yeah. To that point that you just made, yes, once we get to 2030, we continue to increase our OPEB contribution annually. And we've made it a point to make sure that we continue to increase it every year. When we get to 2030, we'll be able to increase it that much more because our obligation to Norfolk County Retirement Board will be caught up by then.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, and then we've talked with our town administrator and we've discussed here as well, but the fiduciary responsibility to the town overall, and that's certainly a collaboration from the finance department, the controller, of the treasurer, FinCom oversight on your behalf, and then your oversight with the town administrator. The town, while years ago, people were saying, you know, we're corrupt, money is always found. Well, no. And I think, if anything, the last, at least in my 15 years, you've been proven that there is fiscal due diligence at every step along the way. And it's now preparing us so that the end is in sight on the Norfolk County. We have a good position to, and I don't know that anybody's calculated the end on the OPEB cease, but there will be an end to it at some point. We're certainly, yeah, as you said,
I'm not sure I'll see it,
but we may not see it, but we're set up to have somebody see it at some point. At
least. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's not all the gloom and doom that the OPEB number was at one point in time, which, no. Yeah, it was an albatross.
It, for sure it was. And, yeah, you know, the state has taken a little different view of it over the last five or six years than they were early on, and painting that doomsday picture for us as far as OPEB obligation goes. But I think we're, I feel very comfortable that we're, we as a community are in a good spot with what we're putting away for the obligation and what we continue and project to put away over the next few years.
So, yeah. And while we're not there yet, the other piece to reinforce is we're certainly ahead of the pack of the rest of the communities facing the same issue. So,
yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just good enough to be at the head of the pack. You don't have to be winning the game.
You don't have to be in the lead, but no. you want to be somewhere near the top third for sure.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, I think those were the key points coming out of the session last night. And as we talked, as we get into the intro, this was our 21st session this year, but last one. So thank you again for taking time to do this. And I hope the end of your year, family-wise, community-wise, is good. Happy holidays. And we'll see you in the new year.
Absolutely, Steve. And the same to you and your family. And thank you for putting these quarterbacking sessions together. They are of great value. And I've heard from many people that they listen to these on a regular basis. So this is all a really good thing. And just to the residents and all of our listeners for this, these quarterbacking sessions, a very happy holiday season, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and let's hope 2022 we get to put this COVID pandemic in our rearview mirror. So I pray for that every night for sure.
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, whether it's whatever the due diligence is required, let's keep that in forefront until it the pandemic becomes an endemic. I think that'll be the next thing to hope for. But yeah, I certainly pray and hope that that'll happen sooner than later. And for everybody listening, thank you for participating. And we do this because Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.